QFC, QFC, QFC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.33 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is connected every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. The repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, well, the topic for the evening will be from the January QST, page 30 through 34. The article entitled Cooking Up an HF Amplifier from Microwave Ovens, which basically shows different parts from the microwave ovens that you can salvage and can be applied to an HF amplifier. However, first, let's do our roster, starting with WB6CLZ Mike.
Me and Tom and Annette, this is WB6CLZ.
Good to have you out there, Mike. How about WB6CIN, Cindy?
This is WB6CIN.
And good evening, Cindy. Glad to have you out there. How about KA6CIA, George?
Evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Glad to have you out there. How about, let's see, I'll go find my list here. Okay, WA6ITC, Rod. Nothing out there from Rod. How about KJ6FIL, Mike?
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
And good evening, Mike. Thanks for checking in from Edwin's. How about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
Yeah, this is KJ6KDL with
KJ6KDK.
And good evening, Jim and Rosemary. Glad to have you out there this evening. About KI6IQA Kelly. Right, nothing out there from Kelly. How about K9AOG Stephen, Long Beach?
This is Stephen, K9AOG in Long Beach.
And good evening, Stephen. Glad to have you out there this evening. How about K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Ed. This is Ron, K6GVL, Green Valley Lake.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to have you out there. How about AD6PL Harold in Riverside?
Evening, AD6PL.
Glad to have you out there, Harold. Let's see if Clint's out there this evening. K6LCS, Clint. And as I heard from Clint, how about KJ6PYV Dave?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6PYV, checking in.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
And good evening, Chris. Thanks for being out there and checking in. How about W6POO, Chip?
Evening, Tom and Annette. W6POO, Palm Springs.
And good evening, Chip. Good solid signal out there from Palm Springs. How about KD6LAN, Bill?
Yeah, good evening, Mr. Glutton for Punishment, KD6LAN.
And that's capital M, capital R, just so you know. Good evening, Bill. Thanks for being out there. Alrighty, let's see if we got Shelly out there. KJ6QYN, Shelly from Apple Valley. Alright, not hearing Shelly out there this evening. Moving on over here to page 2. And I have AE6CK Victor. He was in there earlier. That's okay. How about KA6ROD Rod? Nothing heard from Rod. Let's see, moving down to W6JET Rob.
To the net, W6JET.
And good evening, Rob. Glad to have you out there. How about KJ6RAY? Ray.
Good evening, Tom in the net. KJ6RAY, mobile.
Good evening, Ray. Glad to have you out there. And let's see, how about KK6FJE? Zach.
Hello, KK6FJE.
And good evening, Zach. Glad to have you out there. How about KK6HUB? Bob.
Good evening to you all. This is KK6HUB, Irwin Lake.
Good evening, Bob. Glad to have you out there. How about KK6CXF, Tom? Not hearing Tom out there this evening. How about W2PFA, Art? Not hearing Art. How about M7WNO, Mike? All right, that's pretty much the list as I have it. Are there any guests or visitors that would like to check in? And if you'd like to be added to the list, please let me know.
Kilo 6 Delta Mike Tango, Sydney in Costa Mesa, and yes, I would like to be added to the list.
Okay, Sydney, Costa Mesa, give me your call one more time.
Kilo 6 Delta Mike Tango.
Hi, QO6 Delta Mike Tango, Sydney, got you on the list. Appreciate you for checking. Appreciate you checking in with us and listening this evening. Anybody else?
KJ6 QIN Mobile. I'm in Rancho Cucamonga. Good evening to the net.
And good evening, Shelley, Rancho Cucamonga. Okay, well. Got you in here. Thanks for checking in. Anybody else to check in as a guest? All right, well, let's move ahead. One announcement that I did forget to make at the announcement section. Next 2 weeks, there will be no Tech Tuesday. Next week, Tech Tuesday is on Christmas Eve. We will forego that and cancel that out. The following week after that is New Year's Eve, so those two nights there will be no Tech Tuesday. We will resume January 7th, so check back in with us then, and we'll be right here. Well, anyway, Mike, real quick before we get started with our article, any other news out there with DX or anything like that? Space Weather will give you a quick report here.
I don't really have anything to report. I haven't been doing much hamming. I'm kind of in the middle of a business sale, hopefully. Haven't done much and really didn't even play in the 10-meter contest over the weekend. Darn. Yeah, you're psychic. I was just going to ask you, are we going to have Tech Tuesday over the holidays? Good. So you made that announcement. Let me say one thing, Tom, regarding this article. You are my Elmer when it comes to park scrounging, so I think this is perfect article for you. Back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. And it's real easy with your business to say, okay, it's sold. Give me the money. See, there you go. Real simple. All done. No, I know there's a lot of stuff involved with that. So anyway, good luck with that. Tonight we have cooking up an HF amplifier from microwave ovens and subtitled Materials for Building a Simple HF Amplifier. HF meaning high frequency bands, which is actually the lower frequency bands of our ham bands, but they were high frequency at one time. May be a lot less expensive and closer to home than you think. Matt Castigar, I believe, I'm not sure how that's spelled, call sign W0 X-ray Echo Uniform, and John Stanley, Kilo 4 Echo Romeo Omega, and Ward Silver, call sign November 0 Alpha X-ray. Anyway, these three gentlemen, great article about spanning over about four pages. Little note here too, on the January issue of QST, is a special do-it-yourself issue. So if you are a do-it-yourselfer of any sort, way, shape, or form, this is the one you need to get a hold of. And I'll guarantee you, if you were actually to join the ARRL right now and sign up, they will get this issue to you. But if they don't, for whatever reason, or if you delay getting signed up, then you have access to all the issues back to 1915. Yes, all are available online to members, and a lot of good stuff there. By gosh, keep you busy forever reading all this stuff. Anyway, this is KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group, every Tuesday that we can. Well, first off, microwave ovens, pretty cool things, just like any other electronic device. But we're going to do something here, a little sidebar before we get started, called Safety First, No Kidding. And Mike, you want to go ahead and handle this right here, because we have a lot of different things like high voltage capacitors and the like inside any of these electronic devices. Not every device, but definitely in these. And, you know, if you have a device such as a microwave or a TV that had been on recently, those charges can linger for days. I mean days. Anyway, go ahead and how we handle that. Mike, back to you. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
KF6Q, this is WB6CLZ. Yes, very carefully. I don't want to hear or see of anybody getting fried dealing with any of this stuff. Always, first of all, the most simple one-hand rule. Keep one hand in your pocket or, you know, don't touch anything metal when you're working with this stuff. Second of all, like Tom says, with those capacitors, go to the ARRL website and they give you this in this article. Make yourself a shorting stick if you're going to be dealing with this stuff. I mean, you're talking about a couple of thousand of volts. Add enough current to stop your heart, and it won't start again unless you have a couple of paddles to get it started. So, yeah, very serious stuff. Anyway, make yourself a shorting stick. Short out that capacitor. Even after you've shorted it, clip a lead across it so it doesn't pick up any stray voltage and build up a little bit of a current. I mean, if you're around RF in the shack, it can pick it up. There's various ways how a capacitor can charge itself. Generally not the case, but always be safe. As it says in here on the plug from the unit, as you're tearing it down, put a piece of wire around it, put a wire tie around it, anything to let you know that, hey, do not plug this plug in. I know if your shack is like mine, you have various plugs laying around here and there, and I don't want to plug that in by accident. Read up on safety. That's very important. ARRL has a good source on safety when you're working with gear. Really, just take your time, be safe, and realize this stuff can kill you, and you don't want to make your wives rich people. Okay, back to you, Tom.
Yeah, okay, if there's two Tech Twos in the group. Capacitors do, like I say, have the tendency to recharge up from how and whatever reason. It's beyond the scope of our discussion this evening. But just like a battery, you know, if you use something with a battery or a flashlight or something, it starts to go dim. You can turn that thing off and then come back in 5 minutes and turn it on. It's bright again, or maybe not perfectly bright, but it'll kind of boost back up again. And that's just the magic of the chemistry, basically. And a capacitor has a lot of chemistry in it. So basically, you can short the thing out. However, because of different chemical processes and ions and electrons and all that good stuff in there, they can reaccumulate a charge all on their own. So, like Mike said, if you want to take and short the wires out and leave them shorted for, I don't know, overnight, there you go, that'll work. Generally after that, they tend to not reaccumulate any charge, but a shorting wire, especially on high voltage capacitors, very good thing to have. So let me reset. Another little thing too about the cords on these appliances, that you're going to scrap this appliance anyway, cut the cord off. Just take some snips, cut the cord off, cut it with a good length to it, and you can use the cord on something else, but cut that cord off. Then you can't plug it in because it's in a box someplace. So, and that's a good way to do it too. Anyway, shorting sticks. Let's expand on that. Good friend of mine, when we were in high school, we were working on repairing TVs. TVs, 20,000, 30,000 volts or more. Really big zap you would get off that picture tube. And I'll tell you what, a shorting stick or a chicken stick, essentially you have a piece of wire with an alligator clip on one end, and you're going to clip that to the chassis or ground. The other end you control with a long, long piece of plastic or wood, something that does not conduct electricity. And using that with the other end of the wire, you can actually get in there and short out this stuff. And don't be surprised to hear a big pop, a big arc. The good thing is that you are well away, and I mean this stick, as far as what you want to have, where you're going to hold on, you want to be a good foot or better, a good safety thing there. So anyway, a lot of devices, if they've been turned off for a long, long, long time, probably would not have an issue. Never hurts, especially if you picked up a TV from somebody who says, hey, we don't want this anymore, come on over and pick it up. Hey, you don't know, they might have just tested it out to see if it worked no more than 5 minutes before you got there. So that charge will be back in that TV set for a good day or two, possibly more. Anyway, let's be safe. In this case, we're talking about a microwave oven. And there's a lot of cool parts here. Obviously, he does not build the entire HF amplifier from the parts here. But we can actually get into where you can do ATV with a microwave oven, believe it or not, and that's for another night. This is pretty neat. A lot of cool parts, and right off the bat, the glass door. Well, Mike, hey, that's pretty cool. It's not only a glass door, but it's a shield, and pretty good RF shield, wouldn't you say, for something like a big old surge from the sun?
I think so. They do have a comment in there that they say that the seal designs are often resonant at RF tight and in the 24 megahertz range. So you kind of have to make sure that it's going to work for your application. But yeah, those doors are definitely cool. I would think at higher frequencies, they would definitely work well. They would pretty well stop everything. But, you know, depending on what you're doing with it, always check it out and make sure.
Anyway, so a couple of things that we do have in there, and one thing we are going to talk about this evening is the power transformer, actually, which adds a lot of weight to the microwave oven. We also have the very cool very cool part that actually makes the microwave, but we'll deal with that later. Another sidebar note here. Okay, for all of you explorer types out there, and you're not ready to cut that cord, but you want to check out this microwave, so don't defeat the switch and open up the door and run this thing. There's a reason it has a defeat switch there, and to keep you from having the door open while it's on, especially the back of the cabinet. And you pull the back of this cabinet off, you'll notice something. It's metal and it's grounded, and when you pull that off and you fire this thing up, you will be exposing yourself to microwave energy. And yes, if your arm or hand starts getting hot or warm, that's because it's cooking you, okay? Don't do this. Don't. I mean, don't even think about it. I did not do this, but I know a person who has and was very fortunate that the warming in his arm took actually a week to go away. Yes, it was cooking him internally. So anyway, don't do that. Don't. There you go. I think I've only said don't about a million times. One more time, don't do that. KF6Q. Anyway, let me reset. However, now you've got the cord cut. You've got all these very, very cool parts. You've got this power transformer. And you've got this high voltage capacitor that we just warned you about. And actually, it's a pretty cool part, mainly because of the fact that you're going to need a high voltage capacitor if you're building an HF amplifier. A lot of these tubes, in particular here, he's got a chassis going for a pair of 811 tubes. If anybody out there has ever had or heard of an Amatron amp, well, this is the 811s, or I believe that's the basis of those, and pretty cool. So it doesn't go into all the details of the Amatron, or excuse me, the 811 amp, but there are a lot of good pictures and a lot of different things there of what he's using.
Question,
go ahead.
Yeah, is there a way of measuring the capacitance of a capacitor, or whatever the proper term would be?
KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group every Tuesday that we can. Basically, yes, there is. You can get a capacitor meter, but the good part is that most capacitors, especially of this type, are marked. They have their operating voltage, and they have their capacity in microfarads, and it's marked on them. And if there's a polarity, it'll have that marked too. So most of them are marked. But if you didn't, if you had one that you did not see a marking of, there's actually a meter, like a voltage meter, multimeter. Some of the newer meters will actually measure capacitance, and that's pretty cool. Back to you. Back to you real quick.
Okay, yeah, no, I was just wondering because I have a couple of schematics of some things that I would like to build, but the schematics don't really say what the whatever is of the capacitors. So I was just wondering how we would find that out.
Okay, if you have a schematic of something like that with some of the values not listed, some of the, what they call type similar circuitry used in other devices would pretty much mandate, you know, if it's a filter capacitor, if it's an RF bypass capacitor or whatever, and so on, that basically would be a within a range of a value, and that could pretty much, we could nail that down. So yeah, not a big mystery. If it was something a little more exotic, you know, it might take a little brainstorming, but you'd probably fill in those blanks. Back to you one more time.
Comment. No, you've answered my question. I can talk to you a little bit more about that tomorrow. So, okay, I'll give it back to Net Control, and then I'll back out. KD6LAN.
Not a problem. Good question. Go ahead, Harold. Comment.
Quick comments on the values on the capacitors. Normally, in small print, somewhere along the bottom of the schematic, it will say, unless otherwise noted, all capacitors are, and then it gives a value. And on that getting fried with the microwave, before you peel the heat, you're already fried. It does you way down deep, and you have permanent damage. I understand that if it's long enough or it's the right frequency, it'll damage your bone marrow. 86 beyond.
A very good point. A good friend of mine who essentially experimenter had actually told me about this, and the fact that it got hot, he shut everything down immediately. However, you know, it probably did some damage there. It was years ago, and evidently he's still around, and his arm still works and all that. But yeah, it doesn't take long. 2,450 megahertz is a real resonant frequency of the microwaves. Yeah, 2,450, pretty typical. Happens to be a special resonant frequency of water that'll cause it to start to boil, turn to steam. So that's how they basically work. So anyway, let's use the parts, but let's not use the parts in that manner. let's move ahead. So anyway, with that said, yes, the transformer is actually built for the microwave. Let me reset real quick. And you'll hear of magnetic shunts, which are tiny little pieces of metal that generally need to be removed once you get this transformer out. They're in there for the purpose of the microwave, and it helps equalize the flux load or something of the transformer. Not needed, in fact, will work better for our uses if they're removed. So for more information on that, Google that up, of microwave transformers and magnetic shunt removal. You'll probably get about a million hits to YouTube, and a lot of good stuff out there. We'll show you how to pull those out. So anyway, very, very good stuff there. The reset. Well, anyway, I'm going to send this over to Mike just for a second here. Mike, besides the transformer and the high voltage capacitor, which, you know, is quite a few bucks right there, got a couple other things in there. He's listed different little small parts. The cabinet itself, of course, is a cabinet. You know, I'm not sure if you need a cabinet. There is one thing. The display, most of these have a display. A digital display, and if you're a good hacker, you can get in there and use that part to hack and use actually for a digital meter, a digital frequency meter, all kinds of stuff. So a timer, and we all know microwaves have a built-in timer. There's a lot of good stuff here you can actually hack and use it, not for the HF amplifier, but other good stuff there. So anyway, Mike, why don't you tell me what he's done here. I know we've talked about disassembly and the plug. Anything else in there? Any guides on parts of the disassembly? Back to you, Mike, from KO6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group.
I mean, there's so many other parts you don't think of. The turntable, you know, the brackets, you know, all the pieces of wire, the high voltage cable, and the magnetron. Now, that's very cool. I had one of those when I was like about 10 years old. I got it at a surplus store and played with it for a while. As a matter of fact, I removed the magnets, and they're talking about that, too. They actually have, and I'm not sure about the sealed magnetrons, because I've never gotten into one of these guys, but they probably are like a horseshoe magnet and very, very strong. But, you know, it says when you're removing the magnets, avoid breaking or disassembling the tube any further. And I guess it's got ceramic insulation and not dangerous to touch. But if you're breathing particles or ingesting particles of that stuff, not very good. And it also says to take, well, it says bring, but that's not proper English. It says to take the magnetron to your local hazardous waste disposal facility, you know, when you're done with it. So, yeah, very cool. Then they get into the amplifier project, and man, I don't know. It's talking about, I won't jump ahead. I'll let you take it for a while, Tom. Go back. Back to you.
Yeah, I also, with the magnetron, I mean, yeah, you can get rid of it, or if you're interested in ATV, you could Google up ATV, which is amateur TV. And there are a few that have used the magnetron properly, so you might, in this case, of course, be using the transformer and all the other parts. You can actually modulate it. You can tweak the frequency so it's in our ham band and actually with a dish and proper protection. So it's a little tricky and probably not the easiest way to get into amateur TV, but there are people actually out there using the magnetron for that. Very powerful. Good range. Anyway, well, let's see here. As we could probably get into, he's got, the rest of this is just basically other things with the the amplifier project. Let's get into there, Mike. Let's start. I'll let you go ahead and lead off with the amplifier project.
Tom? Yeah, let's see here. Well, they're not only talking 811s, but they're talking Russian tubes, the GI-6B or the GI-7B, they're triodes. And I'm not familiar with them, but they're about $15 each. So that's what they say that this amplifier uses, and it may be a Russian equivalent of an 811. I don't know. I'll have to look that up. But this amplifier is in the latest 2014 ARRL handbook, which I'll put my plug in. If you join the ARRL, generally they give you a choice of one book. Well, the handbook is an excellent book, a book to get if you're not a current ARRL member, and start to join up. Anyway, it's got a lot of information in. And it says that they're going to start with a single band amplifier, and then you can add multi-band capability to it. So you might start out with it on your favorite band, say 20 meters or 40 meters, and then it says you can add to it. So it sounds like it's easily expandable. And there are several options for the input circuit. It's known as Every Ham's Amplifier. So that's the name of it for you guys that are interested in looking a little further, maybe even building this guy. Basically, it's really talks about just the Pi Network app amplifier and such. So then they start and going into about how to build something. They tell you how to start with it, Tom, and I'll take it over and send it to you.
Yeah, KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Well, there's a lot of parts that go into this amp besides what you're going to get out of the microwave. But I think this is really a good example of parts. Some of the older microwaves have selector switches. Most of the newer ones have like push button entry pads and stuff like that, and no mechanical switches, but all this kind of stuff like that. Very cool. And sometimes if you're not sure what you're going to build, if you're a disassembler, a salvage person like myself, you can take this stuff apart and just put them in a parts box, label everything, and who knows, somewhere down the road you may be able to use that stuff. So save you some money, keeps your project cost way, way down. But anyway, with this here, there's a lot of different templates and things you can do if you're going to be laying out where your tube sockets are going to go. Always a good idea for the first part is to basically, if you're going to build something, if you can find it already where somebody has built this and can lead you with directions and things like that, very cool, because we've always had different groups that we've talked about, kits and things like that. But if you're going to be building something, the amateur radio handbook from the ARRL, like Mike was saying, loaded with information and projects. It's both. It's an educational tool, and it's a project book, and of different levels and different things, anywhere from just an attenuator for attenuating signals all the way up to full-blown, full power, full legal limit amps out there. And yeah, parts are expensive, but if you go out and buy something like that, you're talking about $4,000 or $5,000, but you can build it for a lot less. So anyway, yeah, that's because otherwise I would not be building it. Anyway, good deal. Well, Mike, it tells a lot about the amp, but let's see if we have any questions or comments out there from the group. So anybody out there, please come back to KF6Q on questions or comments. Yes, Harold, go ahead.
When I worked for Keystone Camera, we had a lot of strobes that had to be repaired, and to drain that good size capacitor in there, whenever they would decay, you could get a tremendous load out of them if you weren't careful. I've had my stomach feel like a roller skate going up and down, and my heart stopped for a second or two. And we had a wire wound resistor, a large one, with a stick with the
wire wound on the outside of it, and we had enough lead off of each end of it to bring it down to the contacts on the capacitor and drained it off that way. Otherwise, you could end up in the hospital in a hurry. 86 PL.
You know, there's one good point there. A lot of these circuits, you know, that involve tubes. First off, if it's going to be a tube amp, it's going to have high voltage circuits. And high voltage could be anywhere from a B plus supply of 300 volts all the way up into the 1.5 to 2,000 volts range. Very dangerous. So a lot of these capacitors, and part of the design circuitry, have a thing called a bleeder resistor. And don't eliminate that from the circuit because you don't need it. What that does is that when you turn the device off, it bleeds the, like Harold says, what it does is it internally bleeds it down and discharges it. So to eliminate this hazard, if you open up the case. Also, while it's running, it's such a minimal current across there that it's negligible. So it doesn't really come into play while it's running. But as soon as you shut it off, it drains the capacitors. And should all devices be set up that way? Sure. Are they? No. So that's why we have to be careful getting into this stuff. So anyway, your comments.
W.
Okay, we have two in there. I'm going to take Chris, which is the second one I heard first. Go ahead, Chris.
Yep, but the rule is you're going to work on those things, tap with a shorty stick. Don't depend upon those resistors, K6YW.
Very good point, Chris, because you know what? If that bleeder resistor for some reason got burned up and you didn't know it, or had an open and it wasn't working, you would not know that. And guess what? Yeah, you're going to get zapped. Very good point. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that. And I had somebody else in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, gentlemen. I'm just wondering where this repeater is located and how is my signal into this repeater?
The repeater is in Big Bear, up at the top of one of the ski lifts, and your signal is fine.
All right, thank you, sir. K1NAC, just testing out things. I'm over here in Covina, so it's a pretty good trip.
Oh, yeah, roger that. Yeah, you'll enjoy the repeater here. Anyway, once again, any questions or comments on our topic of the evening?
Comments?
And go ahead.
Mike, WB6CO said,
I'm reading this article a little bit further, and they're saying for the cooling tubes on this amplifier that you can build with the microwave oven parts, that you can use Coleman propane lantern chimneys. Now, that's cool. That's a good use of those things. And also, they do mention how to remove the magnetic shunts on the transformer, so it's right here in the article. Very neat article. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, they have that in the article, but if somebody out there does not have this magazine or whatever, there is actually more information, too. There's actually stuff on the Internet of salvaging all the parts from a microwave. Pretty cool. A lot of good stuff in there. And the guy talks about how, you know, what different things could be used for. So that's all pretty neat. But, yeah. Yeah, I know. This guy is definitely a do-it-yourselfer, and he's got a lot of stuff going here. So. Anyway, pretty cool. Like I said, they've got a lot of different things here. Good project. They tell you how to also test some of these parts safely and whatnot. But great stuff. And we're looking forward to pulling some more articles out of this issue. Unfortunately, we're going to miss two of our Tech Tuesdays, not having one next week on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve the following week. So we may have to just revert back to this issue even after we get the February issue out, Mike. I don't know. What do you think?
So, Tom, there's quite a few nice articles in this one. This one has a little bit more than December. So, yeah, we probably will. We'll hold on to it for a while.
Anyway, so a lot of good stuff here. Like I said, if you're not a member of the ARRL, become a member just to get the magazine, or just consider it a magazine subscription for $39. $39 a year. Cheaper if you go 2 or 3 years at a time. They do let you save a few bucks that way. And anyway, it's all very good stuff. So many different projects. And I'll tell you what, like they have now, the issue now out of the handbook is an anniversary issue. Very cool. So that's pretty neat. A lot of good ads in the back of QST also of where to get parts. If you're having difficulty, that's usually not an issue. You find stuff on the internet, but a lot of good ads for suppliers in the back. So anyway, Mike, before we close Tech Tuesday, any other comments or questions?
Tom, I think we've covered it pretty well. I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday season, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year, and we'll see you after the holidays. Back to you, Tom.
And myself here, too, out to everybody out there. Thanks. Great group we have here getting together on Tuesday, so appreciate that. And anybody else out there, before we close Tech Tuesday, any questions or comments? Yeah, go ahead.
KJ6QIN Mobile, I am approaching Bear Valley Road on the 15. I wanted to just wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Mike and Tom and all the rest of the gang, have a good New Year. KJ6QIN, monitor.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Appreciate that. And we did have a comment in there. Go ahead.
Quick question here about that magneton. You said that not to break a tube on it, or at your face, but to take it to a hazmat. You suppose that has mercury inside of it?
That is a good question. I do not know. All I know is that I got one laying around here. I actually have quite a collection of microwaves, by the way. Yes, I do. I'm not sure. Could be just some of the stuff inside the tube. Yeah, probably could be mercury. I don't know. Yeah, let's see if anybody else out there knows. Go ahead.
Article, they don't mention mercury, Harold. They're talking about the ceramic insulation, but they don't mention anything about mercury. No, I would hope they would if there really is any mercury in there. I kind of doubt it, but always better to be safe than sorry.
Anyway, well, that's always a good thing. So, just like picture tubes or, you know, have chemicals and heavy metals and stuff in there. That's kind of in that nature, but I guess that's not the case here. So, well, anyway, last call. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, KE6TLT, Mead Valley Mobile.
Hey, John. Didn't know you were out there listening. We got you checked in. How's the drive?
It's manageable. It actually feels holiday-like. Go right ahead. Holiday.
All right, John, good hearing you out there. Anyway, well, we're going to close the net for this evening. Hope to see everybody back here in 2 weeks. No, excuse me, it's going to be 3 weeks. Wow. Anyway, don't forget, it'll be 7 o'clock right here. January 7th, I believe. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I think that's our next Tuesday. So everybody take care. Have a good, safe holiday. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and all that. And hopefully we'll have some great new articles to talk about next year. So anyway, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We're closing the net this evening at 1900 hours, 44 minutes. Always appreciate all our listeners and everybody who has checked in. Hope to see you again soon at our next January 7th Tech Tuesday. Returning the repeater back to you, this is KF6Q.